Well, how many of you here have ever heard of a man named Stefan Breitweiser? Anybody ever hear of? How about Stefan Breitweiser? Maybe that's how you say it. I don't know. I didn't hear about him either until I was doing some internet surfing this week. But if you were ever in France in the 1990s, anybody ever visit France in the 1990s? No? Oh, you almost had it. But and you were at a restaurant, you may have had Stefan as a waiter. Believe it or not, but even more known for his ability to wait on tables is the fact that he was one who stole things. From 1995 to 2001, over a six-year period, he stole 239 pieces of art in 172 different museums throughout Europe, and the estimated cost of all these pieces of art were $1.4 billion. Now, when we hear that, we may shake our heads and say, man, can you believe that? Are you kidding me? What a thief. What a big-time thief. I hope this guy gets life in prison. And while I'm sure that none of us here have ever stole even close to $1.4 billion of merchandise, the truth is all of us here have a little thief within our heart. We're all, because of our sinful nature, thieves at heart. Even if we haven't stole from Walmart or a convenience store, the truth is we can steal in many different ways. And so we want to talk about that today as we continue to look at the Ten Commandments. We're on commandment number 8, and you can probably guess what it is, right? You shall not steal, right? Today, as we begin, I want to begin with the why question. Why do we steal? Why do people in general steal? First, there's many reasons, but I just want to give you three major reasons. Number one is sometimes people steal because they are in need. And perhaps you've seen stories of those who have been very poor, and maybe third world countries, where they just are looking for some food to survive the day, and they've stolen that just to get through another day. And when we hear about that, as humans, we may have a little bit of compassion, don't we? We tend to look at that in kind of a light way and say, well, man, if I was there, I might do the same thing. And some people may even say, well, I see nothing wrong with that. But in the eyes of God, whenever we take something that does not belong to us, we're guilty of stealing. Unless God has said, you take that, we're guilty of stealing. And, you know, it might be hard for us in this country, in the United States, which is a land of such plenty, to understand how anybody in our community could steal something like food. That may baffle us. Because when you think about it, there are so many ways to get food. I think for myself, if I got to the point where I had no food and I couldn't afford to buy food, I know this, I could go down to the Salvation Army. I volunteer there once a month. I know I could get at least one pretty good sized meal, and I'd hang around till close to one when they offer seconds, and I'd get seconds. And then they have these racks of food, of breads and desserts and different things that you can take home. That could maybe be dinner for me. I know this, even if I couldn't afford anything, I could get some food. I could survive. And many people have that opportunity in this land to do that. But yet there are some people in places around the world that there's a great temptation for them to steal, again, things like food, simply because they are in need. The Bible addresses this kind of temptation in the book of Proverbs. We find some great words of wisdom. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Says, two things I ask of you, O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. We see in that passage that there, on one side, the author is saying, I pray that I'm not so poor that I might be tempted to steal that food that which is not mine. And on the other hand, there's a whole nother temptation that we can fall into, and that is having too much, where we want so much that we forget who God is. We forget who the Lord is. We forget who gave us everything that we have. And so as we hear this proverb, you might be thinking of some of the words of Jesus. Remember what Jesus taught his disciples when he taught them how to pray? Remember what he said? One of the things he said was, give us this day what? Our daily bread. And this is what this proverb is saying. Just, Lord, give me today what I need. And as you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes on to say so beautifully, don't worry about tomorrow. Just don't worry. God will provide for you. Don't worry about that. Just pray this. God, give me what I need today. Just give me my daily bread today. And then on the other hand, we don't want to be so focused on stuff that we lose our eyes, get our focus off of God. And again, the words of Jesus ought to be ringing in our ears on the Sermon on the Mount. What did he say? You cannot serve what? Two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve what? Both God and money. That kind of leads us to our second area of stealing, or second reason for stealing, which is greed. Some may steal because they're in need. Others steal because they already have, they have more than enough. They just simply want more. When I say the name Bernie Madoff, what comes to your mind? Now, his name you may recognize. Stefan was maybe somebody we didn't hear about, but Madoff is someone that was really big in the news. Words may come to your mind like fraud, liar, deceiver, but certainly you could say the word what? Thief as well. He was certainly a thief. And he didn't steal because he was in need. He wasn't starving to death. He wasn't homeless. He had more than enough. He had three homes, all of them in the millions of dollars worth. He had a yacht. He had expensive jewelry with his wife and so on. He had millions, and he simply wanted millions more. Now, there may have been other motives for what he did, like power and position and so on, but you've got to say greed had to be mixed in there as well when he did what he did. What's interesting about that man, Stefan, that I mentioned earlier, that guy that stole all the art, he didn't try to sell any of that art for money. What he did is he just wanted to look at it all. So he had it all in his house, and because he loved art so much, these pictures are so beautiful, and he just wanted to look at them. And so for him, you know, it wasn't the financial aspect, but he was still greedy, wasn't he? I mean, think about it. After he had 238 paintings, you know, couldn't he be content with that? He said, no, I just want one more. But it was that 239th that really did him in. He had some greed as well in a different way. And the scriptures warn us as Christians against greed. Very clear in the Bible. I want you to look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and what the Apostle Paul here says to Timothy. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it, right? Naked we come, naked we go. Well, maybe we have some clothes on when we go in the casket there, but basically, we don't take anything with us. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Now the Bible as a whole clearly teaches that to be rich or to have possessions is not sinful. In fact, Paul would go on later in chapter 6 to say, command those who are rich to be generous. That's what he says. So if we have a lot of stuff, if God has blessed us in that way, what does God want us to do? Bless others. Be a blessing. Make my life a blessing. What did Jesus Christ say? It is better to what? Give than to receive. Do you believe that? It's better to give than to receive. You're blessed. What does Jesus mean there? I believe he's saying this. You will get more spiritual joy out of giving to others than if you were to receive something. And you would say, but man, I don't have two nickels to rub together. What can I give? Well, you know what? If you gave one of those nickels away to someone in need, you would feel more blessing, more joy in that than if someone gave you $1 million, is what Jesus is saying. Because it's the action of giving, of blessing others, that can bring such spiritual joy to your life when you love the Lord like we ought. The third area I'd like us to look at is this, is that some steal because of need, others because of greed, others because of the pleasure of it. In other words, some people get a thrill, get a high, you could say, just by the act of stealing, the act of thievery. There's a rush that they get by doing it. And most of us probably wouldn't fall into that camp, but there are some that do. St. Augustine, hundreds of years ago, wrote about this in his book called Confessions. And he talked about how he would steal pears out of the orchards of other people. And yet he had his own orchard. His family had an orchard. He had his own pear trees in his own backyard. And those pears in his yard were actually better than the pears that he would steal. And he was not hungry. He didn't take those pears because he was hungry and wanted a pear. And even after he had the pear in his hand, he was not filled with joy when he saw the pear. It was the act of stealing that pleased him so much. And so listen to what he says. He says, I took joy in the theft and in the sin. I took joy in the theft and in the sin. And what we learn from that is a classic example of just how pleasing sin can be to our sinful natures. And that is why the Bible over and over warns us as believers that we still have these tendencies to sin. Though we have the Spirit of God, God has given us His Holy Spirit, desires for holiness, desires to please Christ. At the same time, we still have these sin natures. And these natures desire sin. And so we're told in the Bible what you heard in our scripture reading today, to put off the old self and put on the new self, to be made in the image of Christ. Galatians 5 is another great chapter. You can read that for homework. And we've read that numerous times in the past where Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And he goes on to list many of the sins that spring from our sinful nature. But let's look at one more passage that deals with our sin nature. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Again, the Bible pounds this home to us as believers that we have a flesh, we have a sinful nature, and we're called to feed the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. There are certainly many other ways or many other reasons why people steal when you get into the motives of stealing. But I want to now look at another aspect of stealing, and that is how do we steal, or really what do we steal? What are some things that we can steal? Again, three things real quick. The most obvious, I think, when we think of stealing is stealing what? Stealing stuff, right? Stealing possessions. If I go into Walmart and I've only got 50 cents in my pocket and I see that Reese's peanut butter cup and it says 99 cents and I take it and I say, ooh, I can just slip it in my pocket and walk out, I'm guilty of stealing. And usually we think of stealing in that way, taking something with a price tag on it. But it's not just that, is it, when you think about it? You may be at the doctor's office and you sign in for your physical for the day or your appointment, and you take that pen and you say, boy, this pen really has a nice feel to it, you know? And it's kind of, I don't see many pens like this, you know? You know, he's a doctor, sure. He wouldn't miss a pen, would he? And you know what it's got is information on there. I can kind of advertise for the guy. You know, I can just slip it here and what's the big deal, right? We can steal in that way. We can steal sometimes unintentionally. If you've, I know this has happened to me in the past when I worked in the nursing home and I worked in maintenance. And so sometimes there would be little projects you'd do. You'd get the phone call, okay, Mrs. Jones, you need to fix her blinds. Okay, so I go up, I take a screwdriver, some pliers, take a few screws, put them in my pocket, go up and work on the blind. And when I get home and empty out my pockets for the day, I find, oh, here's some screws that I took home. Now, I didn't mean to. It was kind of a, quote, honest mistake. But what should I do? When I get up the next day, I take those screws, I put them in my pocket, and I bring them back to work, right? That would be the honorable thing to do. What if I say, you know what, we've got like hundreds of screws at work, and they won't miss a few. And you know what? The other day, you know what I did? I after I punched out, Mrs. Jones said, would you please fix my wheelchair? So I went and I stayed an extra 10 minutes. I fixed her wheelchair. Surely it should equal out, right? That little bit I did and those screws I took. I mean, it's all good, right? No. When we take something that does not belong to us, when something is the property of something else and we claim it as our own without asking, that is stealing, no matter how you slice it or dice it. I would be guilty of stealing if I did not return those screws. So those of you who have screws and pens and different things that you need to return Monday morning, you can go ahead and do that. And I also heard that when you hold things for a long time that belong to someone else, that could be stealing. So I've got like your flashlight and your saw, and I got a lot of returning of things to do. Maybe some books on your bookshelf that have been there for a long time and you still got them. But anyway, that's one area, is taking stuff. Another area we can steal is time. I think especially this applies to those of you who work. Most of you, if you work, you have a job, you get paid by the hour, right? And so you punch in at a certain time, you punch out at a certain time. And while you're there, you're expected to do what? Work, right? They may give you lunch break. They may give you different breaks throughout the day. And they may have different policies on how they want you to work. But typically, you should be working. And I know how easy that I've been in the workplace where you punch in and punch out. So I know how easy it is to cut corners at time and steal 5 minutes here, steal 10 minutes there. But if we want to honor God, I believe we'll seek to be honest with our time and not steal time from our employer. A former boss of mine used to have an expression. Sometimes he would look at me and he would say, do something, even if it's wrong. Now, I don't agree with that philosophy because I think we should do what's right. But his point was this. Don't just do nothing. Come on, would you get busy and do something? This was, and you, if you knew the guy, you'd like him. But well, unfortunately, he passed away. But anyway, let's look at some scripture on really how we should work and what our mentality should be. Again, in the book of Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. Says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I'm sure you've maybe seen that bumper sticker, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter." You ever see that, right? What is that about? It's about, I'm working for the Lord. I know ultimately, yes, I have supervisors and maybe people over me, but you know what? Ultimately, I want to please God by my actions, by the way I conduct myself at the workplace. And I know we're all in different places. Some of you aren't even working yet, are you? Someday you'll get there. Young ones, youth, you're going to be working someday. And you're going to have to honor God. And so we may have different guidelines. Some of us may not punch in and punch out. And so it's a different kind of ball game. But ask yourself this, am I stealing time? Am I stealing time? Third way is this, is we can steal ideas. And we usually call this what? Plagiarism. Remember that from school when you, I'm guilty, I bought the old Cliff Notes, I didn't like to read back then. And you know, you plagiarize, you cut corners, you do what you gotta do. But we can be guilty of that as well. This can happen in business. This can happen in writing, in music. People may steal lyrics. People may steal ideas for books. All these kinds of things happen. And you know what? It can even happen behind the pulpit. Did you know that? You won't believe it, but there have actually been pastors who have taken sermons that other guys have written, and they've preached them as if they were their own. Can you believe that? It's true. It has actually happened. And I always say, I have a hard enough time preaching my own stuff. I don't know if I could, it would be hard to try to cop somebody else's, the whole thing and try to bring it out to you. But certainly there may be, it's okay to quote, if you're, from my perspective as a pastor, to quote guys and say, so-and-so said this. And there may be times where you hear a guy on the radio and says, boy, that sounds like what Pastor Eric said. I wonder if he's copying it from him. Well, you got to keep in mind that we use the same book. We're working off the same book. So you may hear a lot of similar things from other preachers. But again, it's wrong to steal ideas and make them your own. And when you think about that, what's a motive for that? For the pastor, it could be laziness. He just doesn't want to work on getting a sermon together, so he steals somebody else's. But when we steal an idea, usually the motive is what? It's pride, isn't it? Because we want the glory. We say, oh man, that's such a good thing. I don't want that person. I want that idea for me. I want people to think that I did this, I came up with that, or what have you. And so we need to be very careful that we don't steal in that way either. Many more ways that we can steal. I think of what the prophet Malachi said to the people of Israel. He said, what, you're robbing God. Because they weren't honoring God in their offerings, in their tithes and offerings to God. He said, you're robbing God. Another way we can, people can be guilty of stealing. I think of what Jesus said in John 10 when he said, I am the good shepherd. And everyone else who came before me claiming to be a Messiah, they're just thieves and robbers. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All those guys who said, I am the way, thieves. They've been stealing people. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. Many other ways that we may be guilty of stealing. But today, as we close, I want to look at the answer to our thievery, the solution, you could say, to our problem. Again, you may have never stolen from a store. I confess I did. I think I've shared this in the past. My mother used to work at a convenience store at night. And I was maybe 8 or 9, and I saw that candy bar, and man, I wanted it so bad. And I took it, and I'll tell you, when I took it, It was like an hour of my life, it felt like. And like everybody in the world was watching me, and because I was taking that. I knew it was wrong, but yet I wanted it so badly. And I took it, and I put it in my pocket. And I'm so thankful that there was some law that led to that, right? Because if I didn't have a consciousness that it was wrong to steal, it would have been no big deal. But for me, it was like, ooh, this is huge. I'm getting away with like like Stefan here, $1.4 billion worth of art here. The law is good. The law is good. But what's the answer? What's the solution? In our scripture reading today out of Ephesians 4, Paul said this, he who steals must do what? Steal no longer. What's the solution? What's the answer? Stop stealing. Whether it's stuff, whether it's time, whether it's ideas, we can steal time from other people too. When we're supposed to be at a meeting at a certain time, start on time, and people are hanging around, and we could be stealing their time, their precious time, by not operating the way we should. Many ways. So, if you happen to be a closet kleptomaniac, or if you happen to steal a few minutes from the company, God says, stop. God says, stop. Okay, so we stop. We stop stealing. What do we do with the guilt? When I took that candy bar when I was 8, the guilt remained. Okay, I didn't steal any more candy bars after that. But the guilt remained. What do I do with my guilt? What do you do with your guilt after you steal? Because God has a record of all of our sins. Do you know what? He's a perfect accountant. He's got everything on record. He doesn't miss a thing. And it's all recorded. Our sins are all recorded. So what are we to do with our sin against God? What are we to do with our guilt? Final scripture today is out of Luke chapter 23. This is what we do. And interestingly enough, this is a conversation that Jesus had with a thief. I love Andy's face right now. A thief. He's you're precious, Andy. Luke 23:39-43 says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him this, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. What an awesome passage of scripture. That's the gospel. And we don't have all the details of what this guy was thinking, but obviously this man had a change of heart. We read in the other gospels that at one time, both men were hurling their insults at Christ. But as it got toward the end of the crucifixion, one continued to hurl his insults. The other guy had a change of heart. Because he looked at Jesus, and through the Spirit of God, he knew that this man had done nothing wrong. But he was guilty. He had shame. He had guilt for his sins. He knew he had stolen. He knew he was a thief. He knew he had broken the law. And so he says those two precious words, remember me. Jesus, just, I know you've got a kingdom. I know you're the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. I know I blew it. But when you come into your kingdom, would you just remember me? Would you just remember this poor wretch? Would you remember me? And Jesus says, today, you may breathe your last breath as you hang upon this cross. But after your last breath, you will be with me in paradise. What's the answer? What's the solution to our sin, to our guilt, to our offenses against God? It is to look to Jesus Christ upon the cross and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm a wretch. I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Only you can save. Would you remember me? Would you cleanse my soul? Would you forgive me? Would you come into my life and make me whole? Make me a new man. Make me a new woman. That's the answer. That's the solution. I pray that each of you here have put your faith and your hope in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, who is God the Son, who came to bleed and die out of love so we could be forgiven. Let's pray. Oh God, today we thank you so much for your word. And God, we don't ever want to get to that place where we ignore your law. Because your law reveals our own sin. And if we don't see our own sin, we won't see a need for our Savior. God, I pray that we would know that though we are sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet in sin, Christ died for the ungodly. And so, God, today we marvel at your grace. Jesus, we marvel at your willingness to be crucified and beaten and bruised so that we could be forgiven. And Father, I pray that everyone here today knows that. Lord, if there's some here who maybe have never taken that step of faith, that they would look to Jesus and simply in the depths of their heart just cry out to you, Jesus, and say, Jesus, would you remember me? Would you forgive me? I open up my heart to you. And even now, Lord, as we remember the cross, as we remember the price that was paid, I pray that we'd be grateful for the work of Jesus. So now, may we prepare our hearts as we do this together in Jesus' name. Amen.